skyscrapers against a clear, bright blue sky. Hallmark Entertainment presents various shots of buildings around the city. A Mat 4 production in association with Alpine Median and Larry Levinson Productions. Back to You and Me. Lisa Hartman-Black, Dale Midkiff, Barbara Niven, Don Harvey. Cars drive by a shop on the corner of a grubby street. Larry Minetti, Blake Woodruff, Joel McCrary. A bridge over railway tracks, a pylon and a tangle of wires above. A train passes along the tracks. Lisa Long, Ken Land, Romy Rosemont. A red blimp flies through the sky. And Rue McClanahan as Helen. Cars drive down a busy road. Casting by Penny Perry, Amy Reese. Music by Kevin Cleish. The Stars and Stripes hang from a building. Edited by Colleen Halsey. Production designer Yuda Akko. People browse stalls on the street. Director of Photography James Wren. Co-executive producers Nick Lombardo, Steve Squillanti. Produced by Albert T. Dickerson III, Jeff Kloss. Written by Tom Amundsen, directed by David S. Cass Sr. In a hospital, a doctor in scrubs comes out of a lift and ambles over to a reception desk.
Brenda, let me have Mr. Simmons' file.
Hefty Brenda fetches the file. Middle-aged mustachio Dr. Tom waits.
His room's available. I'll be in the doctor's lounge.
Yes, doctor.
An attractive doctor with long blonde hair strolls up to the desk.
Brenda, may I have Mrs. Magruder's chart, please?
Sure.
The attractive doctor is in her 40s. Brenda hands her the chart.
Thank you. She doesn't have much time left, so it's important that we try and keep her as comfortable as possible. Okay?
Yes, doctor.
To another woman.
We need more doctors like that one.
The other woman behind reception nods in agreement. In a hospital room, a balloon with a smiley face on it hangs next to a bunch of flowers. A pale, clammy woman, Gretchen, lies in a hospital bed attached to a large machine by tubes, including a tube running into her nose. The blonde doctor, Sid, comes out of a lift and stops outside the patient's room, peering in. A bearded man sits next to Gretchen, his hand placed over hers.
Hi.
Sid enters. Gretchen's awake and sitting up in bed.
Oh. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Sid.
Sid pats her on the shoulder comfortingly.
The beeping is getting a little annoying. I suppose I'd really get annoyed when it stops.
I'm so sorry I couldn't do more.
Oh, are you kidding? You've already done so much for me. All the other doctors said I could just have 4 months and you found a way to find me 4 years.
Because of you, I was able to see my son graduate from college. And I'll never be able to thank you enough for that.
They smile warmly at each other.
I'll check on you a little later. If you need anything, you let us know, okay?
Gretchen nods and Sid leaves the room. She stops outside and glances back at her patient sadly, then heads off. Inside, the man sits by Gretchen holding her hand. Tom sits in the doctor's lounge, his head bowed, fingers pinching the bridge of his nose and eyes closed. Sid strides in and notices Tom. He opens his eyes and looks at her.
Hey.
Hey.
You feel like going out to dinner tonight?
I think I'm going to stay here a few extra hours.
She sits at the table.
What's up? You covering for someone?
Mrs. Magruder's slipping away.
It happens, Sid. You've been doing this long enough to know it's all a part of life.
I know. It's just so hard to let go.
Your problem is you care too much. The less involved you get, the easier it is to let nature take its course. Let me take you out to dinner. Get your mind off it.
I don't think so.
Well, if you head home early, call me. I'll come over. My first surgery's not till 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Not tonight.
She gets up.
Okay.
Thanks, though.
He smiles wryly. Night. Sid stands at the window of her high-rise apartment.
Thanks for coming over. I really didn't want to be alone tonight.
It's Brenda.
Hey, what are friends for?
I know it's just a matter of time, but I still hold out hope that... she's gonna get to go home again.
Well, you've done everything you and modern medicine could, Sid.
Brenda hands her some wine.
You know what Gretchen told me? She didn't think I was happy.
Smart woman.
Oh, come on. I'm happy. I'm successful. I have a good practice. I'm in a decent relationship.
Dr. Personality? If that's a decent relationship, I'd rather die alone. Maybe with a house full of cats, but definitely alone.
Sid stares at Brenda and sags. Brenda peruses mail on the table.
Balloon stationery? You going to a party at Chuck E. Cheese?
No, that's an invitation to my high school reunion.
And you're going, right?
I can't see any reason why I should go.
Well, you haven't been home since your dad's funeral. Aren't you at all curious to see if things may have changed?
No, because I know they haven't changed at all. I've spent my whole life trying to distance myself from that place.
You could see your mother.
I don't think that's going to make me any happier than being right here with Mr. Personality.
Fine. All I'm saying is it might be fun to see who got fat or bald. You'd be returning as a successful doctor who still wears the same size clothes as you did in high school. It would be strictly on your own terms. And if you didn't have a good time, you'll always have this life to run back to.
Bloomfield is a little town where you're born, raised, work, marry, and die.
Sounds like a simple life.
Yeah, but it's too simple for this girl. I had more world to see.
Are you going or not?
Sid fixes her gaze on Brenda and smiles. At the hospital, the sheets on Gretchen's bed are removed, the bed empty. Sid enters, glancing at the balloon and flowers next to the bed. She looks around, her eyes full of melancholy.
Anesthesiologist on call 7302. Anesthesiologist on call 7302, please.
She looks back at the empty bed and hurries out of the room. Outside a large white building, the City Hall, people are jumping up and down doing star jumps under a banner that reads, "Make Bloomfield the healthiest town in America." A mural of a 1950s Cadillac with the caption W.L. Morris above it adorns a wall. A local movie theatre has a sign that reads, "Saturday Matinee." Another sign reads, "Central Market." People in tracksuits jog along the street. An older woman in a bright orange tracksuit runs towards a man sweeping the pavement.
Morning, Helen.
Really? Exactly how is smoking gonna help Bloomfield become the healthiest town in America?
I'm doing my part. It isn't lit.
She takes it from his mouth and breaks it.
Yeah, I hear Sid's coming back for the reunion.
What?
Well, how about that? I know something's going on in this town before you do. Well, that's got to be a first for anybody.
Cute. So how'd you find out?
Well, she faxed her RSVP to Nelson yesterday. Nelson told Dusty when he stopped by the tavern for a beer after work. And Dusty went home, told Cheryl, who told me this morning when she came in to confirm the meat order for the reunion buffet.
Okay. Sounds like you got your own little gossip chain going there.
Now, see, it's not gossip because we're all on the committee. We leave gossip to the professionals, like yourself.
He pops another cigarette in his mouth.
You know, it's the 21st century, Reuben. Get with it.
She breaks the ciggy.
Yeah. And meat is back, baby.
He puts the broken cigarette back in his mouth.
Hey, Helen! Helen, wait a minute!
What?
Why didn't you tell us that Sid was coming back for the reunion?
Oh, well...
I always felt that Sid was the one that got away.
Me too.
She legs it.
Helen! Tell her to call me when she gets here!
The flash-looking guy waves after her. Helen gulps a glass of water outside a cafe, Connie's Coffee Company. She sits down at an outside table. A pickup truck pulls up. A man and a boy get out.
Well, look who's here!
Hey, guys. Stopping by for a cup of coffee and a hot chocolate?
Jake, aren't you a little young for coffee?
Why is that hot chocolate?
Oh, my bad.
I taught her that.
You trying to hip her up a little bit?
As if I needed hipping up. How you doing? How's your tummy?
It's doing pretty good. I'm having a good day.
So am I.
A pretty waitress in her 30s.
Hi there. Until now.
Hey, handsome.
Hey. You know, Helen, I'm glad I ran into you. I wanted to ask you something.
Yes, it's true. Sydney is coming back for the reunion, but I didn't say anything because I only found out myself.
Actually, I was wondering what would be a good time for me to stop by and fix that swing.
Oh.
So Sid's coming back for the reunion?
Apparently so.
Well, I think it's going to be great to see her again.
Won't it, honey?
Yep.
If she's like you, I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, well, don't hold your breath. She's nothing like me.
You know what? I got a cup of coffee and a hot chocolate waiting inside for the two special guys in my life.
Swing? Backyard?
Anytime. Stop by.
The woman hangs back.
I've been chasing after that guy since high school.
Then you were just taking a break from chasing Gus during your first two marriages?
Well, I had to have something to do while he was unavailable. And I am going to wear him down and get him to commit, whether he likes it or not.
She heads inside.
I just can't understand why her first two marriages didn't work.
Helen shakes her head sarcastically. The two elderly men sitting opposite her raise their mugs in agreement and take a swig. Sid drives down a road under the bright sun. In the distance, the road shimmers with the heat. A tractor trundles through a field. Misery from ear to ear. I know I tell myself. The straight road stretches into the distance towards rusty-coloured mountains. Sid sips water from a bottle at the wheel of her open-topped car. Is always near. She's leaving in the morning, sing a sad song. She passes fields and orchards. She turns onto another road, going past a road sign in front of an orange tree. The sign reads, Bloomfield 5. She crosses tram tracks and goes past the people exercising under the Bloomfield, the healthiest town in America sign. She continues down the street. Several joggers cross in front of her. She turns and pulls up at the side of the street. She lets her hair down and takes off her sunglasses. She tidies her hair in the rearview mirror and gets out of the car carrying her handbag. She looks over at the cafe. The two old men are still outside.
Sydney Ludwig!
Nelson! Hey!
Hey! I knew it was you. They don't have too many cars that look like that in this town. You look great.
Thanks. You look pretty great yourself.
Oh, I do. I dropped 12 pounds. You know, we're all trying to get healthy around here.
Yeah, so I noticed. What's going on with that?
Well, this magazine's sponsoring this contest, so we decided to be the healthiest town in America. Eating right, no smoking, and a ton of exercise.
Now, this can't be good for Dr. Sheldon's practice.
Doc Sheldon, he died a couple of months ago.
Oh.
The town ain't been healthier. Hey, while you're here, maybe you can give us some pointers on how to get in shape. We're woefully lacking medical expertise.
I'll be happy to do what I can while I'm in town.
That's great. Say, maybe we can talk about it at dinner tonight?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, come on. We'll go to Barney's. We'll have a lot of fun.
That place is still there?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
Great! I'll pick you up.
Okay. Oh, no, wait. I don't know where I'm staying yet.
Really?
Yeah. Why don't I just meet you there?
Okay. Say, 8 o'clock, we'll beat the early bird rush.
Yeah, wouldn't want to miss that stampede.
8 o'clock.
Okay.
Nelson swaggers off. Sid smiles. Reuben comes out of the cafe.
Sid?
Reuben?
One and the same.
Hey, Reuben.
Hey.
Still following in your father's footsteps, huh?
Yeah, well, bloody though they may be. Boy. It is good to see you, Sid.
Thanks, you too.
You haven't changed at all.
Oh.
No, you look great.
Thank you. So do you.
Yeah, Right. Got to be a few holdouts from the health craze everybody's on in this town. And I am proudly leading the pack. And we're a small but mighty group.
Well, you were never one to follow the crowd.
Well, your mom was surprised when I told her you were coming back.
She knows, huh?
I hope I didn't spoil the surprise. Well, I got to get back to my shop. You know what they say, meat waits for no man.
Okay.
I say it anyway. See you around.
Okay, bye.
Obese Reuben jogs off, holding a milkshake in his hand. Sid watches, smiling, then heads into the cafe. She studies photos and trophies on the wall. There's a photo of a huge stadium and one of an American football team with a newspaper clip entitled "Bloomfield Wins State Championship" next to a trophy. The pretty blonde waitress comes out of the kitchen and gawps at Sid.
Well, looky here. If it isn't Sid Ludwig, Connie Juergens.
Yep.
But I haven't been Juergens since high school. It's Murray now. I was Connie Bradford for a while there, but that didn't quite work out. Then I became Connie Murray. Kept the name, just not the husband. But you're still Ludwig, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I just haven't been as lucky as you. So, what can I get you?
How about a latte?
Okay.
Non-fat? Nah, bring on the real stuff.
Whoa.
Connie heads behind the counter.
I haven't sold too much of the real stuff lately. Seems like this whole town's gone health crazy.
Yeah, so I hear. Would you like something to go along with this?
To eat, maybe a muffin? I got non-fat blueberry, non-fat banana, and my special non-fat zucchini.
No, I'm fine, thanks.
Also got some caramel sticky buns, but they're a day old. Can't seem to move the stuff that's really bad for you.
I'm good.
Okay.
Connie hands her a takeaway latte.
Thank you. What do I owe you?
Forget it. Consider it my little welcome home gift.
Sid blows on the coffee.
You got a nice little place here.
Yeah. I was able to swing it with my divorce settlement, the second one. But between you and me, I don't know how much longer I am going to keep it.
She leans closer.
Connie Martin. As in Gus.
Sid stirs her coffee agitatedly.
Well, you remember Gus, don't you?
I believe I do.
Yeah, I thought you would. You two were quite the item in high school, as I remember. All through college, too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Gee, must have been really hard when he ran off like that and got married.
We hadn't been together for quite some time.
Yeah, I've been taking really good care of them. I know that boy of his can sure use a mom.
Gus has a son?
Yeah. Jake. He's a sweet kid.
Connie nods.
But he's not well.
What's wrong with him?
Not sure. There's been a lot of doctors. Nobody can seem to figure it out. Hey, maybe you can figure it out while you're here.
I'm sure his doctors are doing all they can.
Yeah, I suppose.
Sid frowns.
You know what? I think I will have one of those sticky buns.
Right.
Connie gets one.
Yeah, the big one.
To go?
To go.
I'm house.
Thank you. See you around.
I'm sure I will.
Taking her bun, Sid leaves. Pursing her lips and fiddling awkwardly with the tongs, Connie watches her go. Sid drives down a quiet, tree-lined avenue and pulls into the drive of a large house. She removes her sunglasses, eyeing a sign that reads Ludwig's.
Gotta be a warning.
She shakes her head and pulls further into the drive, staring at the green wooden house with veranda. She pauses in her car.
Okay, I can do this. Quick hello, and I'm gone.
Steeling herself, slim, petite Sid picks up her handbag and gets out of the car. She heads towards the house, stops in front of the steps, and takes a deep breath. She makes her way up them. At the front door, her hand hovers over the doorbell. Inside the smart house are framed photos of Helen with a bearded man and other old black and white photos. Helen comes to the door and opens it.
Hi.
Hi.
Helen smiles tearfully.
Come on in.
Sid enters with a smile and Helen closes the door. in the living room.
Oh, it is good to see you.
Come. Helen gives Sid a hug.
Well, let me look at you. Oh, you haven't changed a bit.
Why don't we sit out?
Okay.
They plonk themselves on opposite sofas.
Wow, new furniture.
Yeah. Well, the old stuff was getting to look old, so I decided to change things.
Looks nice.
Helen nods and smiles nervously.
I wish you'd let me know you were coming. The only news I like to get from my butcher is that tri-tip is on sale.
I probably should have let you know, but I just want to get settled in first.
How exactly did you expect to get settled in without my knowing it?
I thought I'd just get a room at the inn.
Ah, to quote the Bible, there is no room at the inn. In fact, there is no inn.
Really?
You really should have phoned ahead. You know, that place closed years ago.
Where do people stay?
There is a very charming little bed and breakfast spot that's opened up since you've been away.
Maybe I'll try there.
Hi, folks.
A couple come downstairs.
Get settled in, okay?
We sure did.
Well, everything all right?
Oh, just wonderful as usual.
Come on in here, and there's someone I want you to meet. This is my daughter, Sydney.
This is Sydney. Well, it is a pleasure to meet you.
We have heard so much about you.
You have? Sure. Every time we stay here, your mom talks about her daughter, the doctor.
It's nice to finally put a face to the name.
Well, it's nice meeting you, too.
Wine and cheese at 5?
As always.
See you later.
Okay.
Nice meeting you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
The smiling, middle-aged couple head out.
Turned this place into a B&B?
Didn't you see the sign outside?
Well, the sign says Ludwig's. It doesn't say anything about a B&B.
Oh, well, it's subtle.
Subtlety has never been one of your strong suits.
I know. Oh, it's such a big house, and it was just sitting empty, and so I thought I'd put it to use. Besides, it's nice having people around to talk to.
It's a shame you didn't think of that when you had someone around to talk to.
Excuse me?
Daddy was very ill, sitting around this house, this big house, all by himself.
Helen shakes her head.
That's not how it was.
It's not?
She shakes her head.
You really have no idea of what went on here before your dad passed away.
Passed away? Is that what you call it?
I prefer to put it that way.
And now you're lonely, or you're guilty, or whatever you are, and you've decided to open our home to anyone who can pay the nightly rate?
Our home? This place stopped being your home after your dad died. My God, you even stayed at the inn when you came back for his funeral.
You know, I wish I still had the option.
I guess you'll just never understand.
I guess I won't.
Sid eyes her ruefully.
This was a bad idea. Bad idea. I'm gonna find someplace else to stay.
Sydney, please, don't go. Besides, there's no place else in town to stay. No, please. For me.
Sid turns back. Helen gazes at her imploringly.
Your old room is still available.
Sid stares at Helen with her piercing blue eyes.
Okay, but I'm a guest in this house, so I want to pay for the room.
Oh, no, don't be ridiculous.
I insist.
Okay. I guess you remember where your old room is.
Yes.
And there's wine and cheese at 5.
So I've heard.
So do you want some help with your...
No, thank you, I'm fine.
Sid dumps her handbag by the front door and goes out to collect her things. Helen watches her through the window. She turns away, sighing heavily. She steps across the room, cupping her hands to her face. Sid goes to the boot of her convertible Mercedes and gets out a suitcase. The pickup drives up with Gus and his son inside. Gus pulls up.
He's gonna cut the yard!
Gus gets out of the pickup and wanders over to Helen's drive, where Sid's shutting her boot.
Hey, stranger.
He looks up abruptly.
Hi.
Hi.
I heard you were coming back for the reunion.
Well, it seems to be the talk of the town.
Well, it's big news. The prodigal doctor returns.
If you're the welcoming committee, it's a pretty weak turnout.
Well, thanks. No, I just came to fix your mom's swing.
Oh. You've got your own construction company, and it looks like a helper, huh?
It's my son. Hey, Jake, just come on over and meet the lady.
Jake, who's about 8, gets out of the pickup and runs over. He has chestnut hair and chubby cheeks.
Sid Ludwig, this is my son, Jake.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. Sid? Isn't that a boy's name?
It's short for Sydney. My dad always wanted to go to Australia.
He looks up at Gus.
Huh? I'll explain it to you later. Why don't you go get the small tool bag? Okay.
Nice meeting you, Sid.
Nice meeting you too, Jake. He's so sweet.
I don't like him. He acts a little old for his age sometimes, but he's real insightful.
Yeah. They grow up fast these days.
Yes, they do.
They gaze at each other. Sid looks down, then turns away.
So how's life in the big city?
Good. Busy.
Not like me. A little dose of small-town life might do you some good.
We'll see.
So I understand you've only been in town for a couple of hours, and you've already got a date for tonight?
I do.
Nelson?
Nelson. You know, I told him I would have dinner, but it's not really a date.
Somebody better explain that to him.
Well, you know, I found out that you and Connie are really hot and heavy.
What?
Yeah, I saw her today, and she couldn't stop talking about it.
Well, no, we go out every once in a while, but we are not hot and heavy.
Well, somebody better explain that to her.
They grin at each other.
I guess I better go get set down.
Yeah, I better tackle that swing.
Jake heads over with the tools.
Sid, it's good to see you.
They stare at each other intently.
You too.
Sid heads into the house with her suitcase. Gus stares after her. Jake notices him doing it. Sid turns back in the doorway. Gus beams, love-struck, and Sid smiles back warmly. She closes the door.
I think she likes you, Dad.
You think so?
Definitely. I can tell these things.
I'll tell you what. How about we head out back and we tackle that swing and you can tell me all about how you know these things. Okay?
Okay, then.
Gus rubs Jake's head as they walk off. In her room, Sid takes things out of a trunk whilst on the phone.
I just can't believe it. She saved all my things from high school.
That's what mothers do.
Not my mother.
You made it just seem like that.
This isn't going to turn into a long-distance therapy session, is it?
So is being back home
bringing back a lot of memories?
Yeah, what a geek I was. Apparently I won the science fair 4 years in a row.
And retired undefeated.
But you couldn't have been that much of a geek. You did get the captain of the football team.
Who I ran into today.
Oh yeah? And how does he look?
Pretty good, actually.
Who'd he end up with?
He's been involved with somebody in town since his wife died.
So he's single?
No, he's involved with someone. Which that someone was sure to point out to me today when I saw her.
Excellent. She senses a little competition.
I'll call you soon, okay?
You're the doctor. Catch you later. Bye.
Bye.
Sid hangs up. She takes a hard-backed book out of the trunk and starts to look through it. Night. In Barney's restaurant, there's a moose head on the wall and an old-fashioned jukebox. A blonde-haired lady makes a selection and sashays off, past a waitress carrying 2 glasses of wine. Sid and Nelson sit at a table.
So, Matilda, I'm going to have the surf and turf. Charred on the outside, medium rare on the inside. The steak, not the lobster. And the salad bar, that's included, right? Is the baked potato bad for you?
No, just what you put on it.
Ah, phooey. Well, I'll tell you what, give me a side order of sliced lemons. Thank you very much, Matilda. You know, I read in a health magazine that if you squeeze lemon juice all over a baked potato, it tastes just like butter.
Does it?
No.
Hey, Marie, how you doing?
They glance up. It's Gus and Connie.
How about
at that nice quiet table in the corner. Mm-hmm. That okay with you, honey?
Sure.
This way.
Whatever. Think that those two would be dating.
Connie.
Gus and Connie head over to the table. Connie gives them a wave and smiles smugly. Gus waves. They sit down.
Hey, you want to get a salad?
Yeah, sure.
Nelson and Sid get up and saunter into another room with a big salad bar at one end. Sid glances back over her shoulder towards Gus and Connie. Gus grins at her shyly, then looks down. Sid and Nelson stand at the salad bar. Gus continues to gaze at Sid. Inside Barney's, a couple dances. Sid and Nelson are still at the table.
So then after law school, I decided to move back to Bloomfield. There wasn't a lawyer in the town, so it seemed like a natural thing to do. And, you know, it's not the most exciting practice in the world, but it serves a purpose. And I really think that I'm serving a purpose for this town.
Would you excuse me a minute?
Sure.
Sid gets up and smiles at Gus. Connie turns to Gus.
Come on.
Connie tries to feed him. He stops her.
Very good looking.
To Sid walking past.
You come here often?
Not too often.
Pity. You definitely class the place up.
How about you? You spend a lot of time hitting on women in bars?
Only the strange ones. As this is the only real restaurant in town, you never know who you're gonna run into.
She laughs.
Ed Jenkins, how are you?
Oh, I'm good, Sid. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Your father's funeral, I think.
Right. I never really got to properly thank you. It was a nice service.
My pleasure.
But I guess I was caught a little off guard. I mean, the wildest guy in my high school was now a minister. Weren't you voted class clown?
Sid, meet the class clown's wife, Pam. I present Pam.
Hi, Pam. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you, too.
Why don't you just sit down for just a second?
Okay. I'm sure you know your husband was a bit of a wild man. Oh, I've heard all the stories, and I've read most of the police reports.
Did you see Gus walk in? He looks as good as he did in high school, doesn't he?
I hadn't noticed.
You know, we have nothing going tomorrow afternoon. Would you like to come over for an early supper? It'll barbecue.
What a great idea. Unless, of course, you and Nelson have plans.
You are still a troublemaker. I'm going to help the reunion committee in the morning for a little while, and then I'm free. What time is good?
Ed shrugs.
Why don't I pick you up around 3 o'clock?
I've got my own car.
But I could be your designated driver. Things tend to get a little wild around my house.
Oh, I can imagine.
They smile at Sid.
It was nice meeting you, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Sid heads away.
That was great. Good call.
A stone plaque reads, Bloomfield High School established 1952. Inside a hall, people are preparing for the reunion. A man moves a board with old sports photos on it. A banner reads, Welcome back, grads. Nelson.
Looks great, Bob. Keep it level.
Alrighty.
Careful the balloons. They're expensive. Oh, my God. My favorite colors. This looks marvelous.
Oh, good. What about the chairs?
The chairs. We'll do those last. You guys need me for anything? I'm going to go set the bar up.
No, I think we're good.
Doing a great job. Thanks for helping.
Sid and another woman, Cheryl, fold orange napkins. Everything's purple and orange. They giggle as Nelson leaves.
We're all so excited that you decided to come back for the reunion.
Thanks. To be honest, we're a little surprised.
In a good way.
No one's more surprised than me.
I bet this place brings back memories for you.
Sid shakes her head.
No, not really.
Yes. Oh, come on. Do you remember standing up on that stage in the school assembly and giving that winning speech?
Sid turns to study the stage.
I'd forgotten all about that. Are you kidding me?
Respect for law. Cornerstone of citizenship.
The newspaper even printed it. That was a good year for us. You won the state speech competition and the football team won the state championship.
You know, I just must have been off in my own little world.
The newspaper did that story with your mother about how proud she was. You know, I always found it a bit odd that they interviewed her and not you.
That's my mother. A little bit odd.
Sid smiles.
She is whipping this town into shape. She's even helping us pick out a healthy menu for the dinner reunion.
Connie enters with flowers.
I've got the centerpieces.
yellow and purple flowers.
Right. Go, bulldogs.
They look great.
I know. The restroom in my car, please.
All right, we'll get them. I need a hand.
Connie, you really did a great job.
Thanks. But I can't take all the credit. Gus did help me some.
She hands one to Sid.
Okay, we'll take these.
Thank you.
Connie eyes Sid with envy, then stalks off to look at photos.
I hate to admit it, but she really did a good job.
Yeah, she did. Sense Connie's trying to mark her territory with you.
Apparently.
Well, she still hasn't forgotten senior prom when you and Gus disappeared.
You know, he got a new truck and we just went for a ride.
Right. That's ancient history. We had our chance. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out.
But if you're curious, he happens to have a new truck.
Sid nudges her playfully. Gus comes into the hall with a large wooden box.
Hey, honey.
Connie pounces on Gus.
Is that what I think it is?
You got it.
Could be. Oh, boy.
Open.
Party time.
Woo!
Let's get this puppy up.
Perfect. Oh, Gus, honey, it's going to be so romantic.
Connie kisses Gus, who remains rigid and glances at Sid.
Too bad you have to be alone tomorrow night, Sid. You're going to miss out on all the romance.
Connie.
What? I'm just feeling sorry for her.
Connie smiles sweetly.
She's not going to be alone. She's going to be with me.
Nelson stands by Sid.
Aren't you, Sid?
That's right.
Sid nods. Connie bites her lip, then gives a saccharine smile.
How sweet.
I'll take this. I've got $500 invested in it.
Gus takes the huge mirror ball that came out of the wooden box. At Ed's house, two kids play croquet on the lawn. Sid sits with Ed and Pam at a table in the garden.
It's so hard to picture you as a father.
Oh, believe me. It surprises me sometimes.
We're sure glad you could come over.
Oh, thanks. Well, luckily my social calendar was wide open.
You've been pretty popular since you got back to town.
Yeah, much more so than when I actually lived here.
That's not what I hear. Ed says you were very popular.
Well, your husband stretches the truth a little.
Have you had any time to spend with your mom?
No, not really.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Sorry I'm late. I just been...
Sid gapes.
Hi.
Hello.
Sid and Gus smile at each other.
Hey, where's Jake?
Oh, I dropped him off at a friend's. Promised to teach him how to play a video game. I'm gonna pick him up later.
I hope you two don't mind. We've been trying to get Gus over here for quite a while now, and Sid's only in town for a few days, so I hope it's okay.
It's fine.
I don't know. It's...
They beam at each other.
No, it's good. It's good. I could use something cold to drink, though.
Gus sits down at the table.
Oh, I gotta tell you, Pam, these two were inseparable during high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Sid went off to college, every vacation or summer she would come home, Gus would drop everything to spend every minute with her.
Gus shifts uncomfortably.
Is that true?
Well, I'm afraid it is.
Yeah.
After medical school, the whole town thought Sid would end up back here with Gus. Open her practice right here in Bloomfield. After your father passed away.
Ed sits.
I thought you might come back to be near your mother.
You have no idea how hard it was losing him and seeing how she treated him. She was the life of the party when he needed her most.
It wasn't like that, Sid.
No?
No. I was your dad's pastor near the end, and we talked a lot during that most difficult time. I think your perception of what was going on is different than the reality of the situation.
She abandoned my father. That's the reality.
You might think you know what was going on, but I'm sure you don't.
Why don't you tell me then?
I wish I could. But I can't betray the trust they put in me as their pastor. The only person who can tell you what you really need to know is your mom.
And to find that out, I would have to have a meaningful conversation with her. And that's not gonna happen.
Ed, you should put the stakes on.
That's a good idea. Come on, Gus, give me a hand.
All right, ladies.
They head over to the barbecue.
So how do you like your steak?
I shouldn't. You voiced your feelings in front of friends. Sometimes we need to do that.
Sid smiles.
Thanks.
Gus waits by the pickup. Ed and Sid come out.
Sure you don't mind letting Gus take you home?
Isn't that the way you had it planned? I wouldn't want to disappoint you.
Huh. Thanks for coming, Sid. We had a great time.
Oh, great. After I went off on my mother.
Part of my pastoral duties is to listen.
You know, you have changed.
We all change, one way or another.
Not all.
Sid shrugs.
You know, Sid, I've learned an awful lot since high school. But I think the most important thing that I've learned is that to be truly happy, you need two things. Love and forgiveness. And you can't have one without the other.
Sid looks down, then wrinkles her nose and smiles. She gives Ed a big hug.
Tell Pam I said thanks again, okay?
I will.
Okay.
Sid wanders over to Gus, standing by the truck.
Well, Eddie sure barbecues a good steak, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
She leans on the truck.
You know what? Huh? The last time I rode in a truck was with you.
Oh. We used to spend an awful lot of time in my old one, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did. And we always seem to end up at the same spot.
Yes, we did.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
She nods at him and smiles.
Well, I'm thinking it would be a shame to take you straight home if it's been that long since you've enjoyed the exquisite ride of an American-made truck.
It would be a shame.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to get in?
Yes.
Gus opens the door for her, and she hops in. He runs round to the other side to get in. From outside his house, Ed watches. Pam comes out to join him, slipping her arm around his waist. They smile as Gus and Sid drive off.
Hey, Cupid. You have dishes to do.
She hands him a tea towel and they head back inside. Embankment in a lake. The pickup drives alongside the lake, leaving a trail of dust in its wake. Gentle ripples move over the surface of the lake. Sid and Gus get out of the pickup.
So many memories of this lake.
She gazes out across the water.
My dad taught me to swim right there.
She points towards a spot on the lake.
I fell in love the first time.
With who?
With you. Oh. It's just as beautiful as I remember.
I still come up here every once in a while when I need to get away.
I bet Connie likes it.
I wouldn't know.
Really?
I've never brought her up here.
Sid stares at him as he walks away from the pickup.
Other than you, the only woman I ever brought here was Julie.
You must miss her terribly.
Every day.
It must have been so hard for Jake.
It was.
Gus's expression sorrowful.
No matter how many different times I've tried to explain it to him, all he knows is that his mom is gone forever. To top it all off, he's still sick all the time.
What's wrong with him?
Nobody can figure it out. I mean, the doctors over at Mount Bedford say he's just a kid who's susceptible to getting sick all the time, but I think there's more. They're the doctors.
Do you want me to take a look at him?
I'd love for you to do that.
They smile awkwardly again.
Well, I guess, things worked out for both of us. I mean, I got to be a big, successful doctor, and I got to be the father of the greatest kid on earth.
He's anything like his dad, he's a pretty great kid.
Ha, jeez. So what do you think? Do you want to come and hang out with us tomorrow?
Don't you have to work?
Only when I want to.
Yeah, I would love to hang out with you guys.
Gus gazes at her. She smiles, then looks away. Night. A crescent moon hangs in the sky. At Ludwig's, Helen reads a book in her dressing gown and tries to stifle a yawn. Sid lets herself into the house.
Well, you were gone a long time.
I guess.
Where were you?
Mother, I stopped having to answer to you a long time ago.
I wasn't asking to check up on you. I was asking to see if you had a good time.
I did. I went to Ed's, and then Gus and I went for a drive.
Oh.
Now I'm going to bed.
Sydney.
Sid spins round.
We have to talk.
There's really nothing to say.
Yes, there is. There is a lot to say.
Helen approaches her.
Like what?
To begin with.
Helen shakes her head sadly.
I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry for whatever I did that's made you hate me. I admit I made a lot of mistakes. All parents do. But was I really that bad a mother to make you want to leave, to run away from me?
You ran away from me.
Oh, Sydney, that's so not true. Honey, I was always proud of you.
When I won the speech contest, why did they interview you at the newspaper instead of me?
You wouldn't talk to them, remember? You were very shy, honey. You always felt uncomfortable when anybody made a fuss over you. A lot like your father in that respect. Certainly a lot more like him than like me.
He always took a backseat to you.
Yes. Because that's who he was. He was a wonderful man. He was the most incredible man I've ever met. Everybody loved your father. But he was very shy. Just like you.
I thought you would have changed when Daddy got sick, but you didn't. You just kept socializing and leaving him at home. You left him all by himself to just waste away.
Is that what you think?
Yes.
Oh, Sydney.
Helen swallows hard.
Sydney, I loved your father more than I've ever loved anyone in my entire life, except you.
Sydney fights back tears.
When he first got sick, I wouldn't even go out of the house to go get groceries or something we needed. I never left his side. And you know what? He hated it.
But towards the end, every time I called, you were gone. And he would put on his happy voice. But I knew he was hurting.
Yeah, that was him. Sick as he was always more concerned about me than about himself. Always insisted that my life not change just because he was so sick. I guess maybe to some people it looked like I was always out in town and leaving him alone here in the house by himself. But I only did that because he asked me to. When I'd come home, you know, we'd sit around and talk, and I'd tell him everything that was going on in town and make him laugh, make him happy. He put up with a great deal of pain, probably more than you or I could endure, until he was absolutely certain that we would be all right without him.
He knew I was doing research into his condition. He knew that. If he could have just held on, maybe I could have done something.
Sydney, listen. There was nothing anyone could do.
But he didn't even give me a chance.
Honey, just let it go.
Sydney breaks down, bent double.
Why did he leave us?
She clings to her mother.
That's one I can't answer.
Oh, you feel so good.
Oh, I'm just sorry. I'm so sorry we didn't have this talk sooner. Good night, honey.
As Sid continues to weep, Helen trudges away. Sid turns to watch her. Helen cups her hands over her eyes as if crying. Sid walks slowly towards the stairs and heads up them. At the top, she peers back down and looks concerned. She goes into her dark bedroom and shuts the door behind her. She leans against the door, her expression tired and miserable. She flicks the light switch on. Next to a pocket watch on a table in her room is a picture of her dad. She sits down by the table. She looks up, her breathing shaky and her eyes wet with tears. She rests her head on her hand, then notices the photo of her dad. She lifts the framed photo to study it. She holds the photo to her and weeps. Sid covers her eyes with her hands. Morning. Connie jogs down a sunny street in a tracksuit and bum bag. She listens to headphones. As she jogs past, Gus comes out and packs a cool box into his truck.
Hey, Jake, come and get your soccer ball. Hurry it up, okay? Don't want to keep the lady waiting.
What lady?
Hi. What's up?
Well, I bought my new dress, which you're going to love.
And the dress?
For the reunion.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, keep what lady waiting?
Sid is going to go to the park with Jake and I. We're going to, you know, catch up on our lives.
Yeah. How sweet.
Jake trots outside.
Hi, Connie. You want to go to the park with us?
You know, I'd love to, big guy, but I gotta do my nails. You guys have fun, huh?
Bye.
See you later.
Okay.
Sid, Gus, and Jake saunter through the park together.
So what do you think, huh?
Yeah, the park looks great. Nothing's changed.
Oh, come on. We've got new playground equipment.
That stuff's been around as long as I can remember.
That long, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Dad, can I go play?
Sure. Just be careful.
You know, if you want to come play with me, it's okay.
Okay, I'll be over in just a minute.
Okay.
Jake runs over to a play park.
Oh, so cute.
He's just like his mother. You would have liked her.
I'm sure I would have.
We used to come here all the time.
Well, I'm glad we're here today.
I am too. Have a seat. Let's see what we got here today. We got peanut butter and jelly, your roast beef and Swiss, and your tuna on organic whole wheat sprouts, cucumbers.
I'll have roast beef.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well,
I thought you'd take the healthy one, the tuna, being a doctor and all.
I'll take the tuna.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Don't let the fact that Jake and I despise tuna influence your opinion here.
Give me the tuna.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
She takes the sandwiches. She observes Jake fondly as he runs up a mini helter-skelter.
How long has he had that tick that he does with his head?
Ever since he was little. Doctor said it was just a habit that he'd grow out of.
Sid turns back to watch Jake in the play park. He goes down a slide, Sid smiles, and Gus grins. At the cafe, Connie walks out with a vase of flowers. Nelson sits at a table on his own.
Hi, Nelson.
He stares ahead.
Earth and Nelson.
Oh, Connie, I'm sorry. Hi.
Hi.
Can I have a lemonade and a low-cal sweet roll?
Sure.
Thanks.
So are you ready for the big night tonight? A big date with Sid and all?
We're just going to the reunion together. It's not a date.
Hey, it's your chance to work your charms on her.
Yeah, right. If I tell you something, you promise you won't laugh at me?
No.
Ah.
I'm kidding. Go ahead. Tell me whatever it is you want to say.
He glances around anxiously.
Well, despite all my efforts and charms, I firmly believe that Sydney is definitely not interested in me.
I'm sorry, Nelson.
Why? I mean, that's my luck. It seems like I'm always chasing someone that's not interested in me.
Well, it's not always going to be that way. You are going to find someone who appreciates you for you. You're a great catch.
Well, the town's only so big, Connie.
I know. Except for you, I've married about every eligible man in it.
But you're going to be fine. You're smart, hardworking, and heaven knows, you're very, very pretty.
Well, thank you, Nelson. That's very sweet.
Sid pushes Jake on the swings.
Hey, Dad, can I jump off?
No, I don't think so, son.
But I'm having a good day.
I know you are, but not today.
Try again, Nikki.
Jake goes high.
How about the slide?
Okay, quick, stop me, Sid.
Stop him, Sid.
Okay.
Jake bounds over to the slide.
Easy up now, here. Show us what you got. Go.
He clambers up and slides down.
Come on, Sid.
No.
Watch it. I'm going.
Come on, let's go again.
Sid climbs the stairs.
Ready?
Okay.
Come on.
Sid goes down the slide. At Bloomfield High School, a couple of people examine a column of yellow and purple balloons. Another guy is outside fixing another one up.
This is for the parking lot, right?
Yep. Coming
through, y'all. Helen sits at a desk out front.
Here is a list of several volunteers who are going to be designated drivers.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's very good.
Well, who knows? I might end up needing one myself.
Aren't you losing a little weight?
Oh, yes, I am. Thanks for noticing.
Good going. Good going. Keep it up, girl.
It's nice of you to help set up, Helen.
Well, contrary to some people's opinion, I can be of help.
How are you and Sid getting along?
Why don't you just cut right to it, Ed?
Directness is my best suit.
You know how they say sometimes when you haven't seen someone for a long time, you just pick right up where you left off?
Ed nods. At the park.
Let's head home.
Jake chucks a ball to Sid.
That was fun. My mom used to do those kind of things with me.
Sid smiles. Jake nods his head to his side. His tick.
I like her, Dad. She's a keeper. I can tell these things.
Jake beams at his dad, who beams too. Already holding Gus's hand, Jake slips his hand into Sid's. Night at the high school reunion. Inside, tables are laid with food, which includes an iced cake that reads, Bloomfield High School Reunion. Gus sits at a table alone, drinking from a teacup. The mirror ball spins. People chat or dance around the hall, which is decorated with yellow and purple balloons. Sid sits at a table with Ed and Pam. Another couple, Reuben and his wife Randy, stand behind them.
It's nice meeting you, Randy.
Nice to meet you.
Hey, honey, did you want to go mingle?
I do.
All right, I'll catch up with you.
Okie doke. Don't be troubled.
Reuben, did good.
Hi. Yes, I did.
Hey, is that Mrs. Fricker over there?
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Fricker. Still teaches English. Deaf as a post.
Sid giggles. She looks over at the DJ on the stage who's choosing a record, and the couple's dancing. Sid slow dances with Nelson. Gus gazes over at her, a forlorn look on his face. Sid spots him, smiles weakly, then turns away, embarrassed. Connie, in her new mauve dress, her brow furrowed, eyes Sid, who's still dancing with Nelson. Cheryl and Reuben are with Connie. She turns to Cheryl.
Watch my purse, waves.
Connie ruffles her hair, adjusts her breasts, fixes a 100-watt smile on her face, and struts over to Gus, first peering across the dance floor at Sid.
Hi. You having fun?
Hey.
Want to dance?
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
No.
I'm not going to let you stay. No. Can you dance?
She drags him onto the dance floor.
Yes, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I just love to dance.
You always did.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. You never were much of a dancer in high school, were you, Sid?
Not much.
I love to dance.
As I recall, Gus, you were never much of a dancer either.
No, not really.
You know what? I've got a great idea. Why don't we let these two dancing machines go for it, and you and I will sit this one out.
That sounds good. Would you just excuse us for a second? Thanks.
Gus pushes Connie away. She watches him walk off, open-mouthed. Connie watches Sid as she dances and scowls. Gus joins Sid.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So are you really having fun?
Yeah, I'm having more fun than I thought I was going to have.
Me too.
They smile at each other.
It's warm in here.
Yeah, it is warm.
I think I'd like to go outside and have a breath of fresh air before someone asks me to tango.
Sid stares ahead pensively. Pam laughs at Connie and Nelson, who are now dancing with gusto. Nelson winks at Pam.
You know, I think I'll rest this one out.
Okay.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Nelson palms Connie off on Ed.
Are you all right?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Sydney, when I heard that you were coming back for the reunion, I had this wild fantasy that maybe, just maybe, that I'd have a second chance. That same someone is still in my way. So, honey, don't wait. Don't walk. Run. Get out of here. Go get him.
So sweet.
She hugs him and squeezes his hands before running after Gus.
Excuse me.
Pam cuts in to dance with Ed again. Connie rubs her hands together and looks around the hall. She folds her arms, frowns, and heads off. Black trousers and an off-the-shoulder purple top.
Boy, it's getting really stuffy in there.
She joins Gus.
Hi. It's nice. It's nice. Would you like to go for a walk?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
So what did you...
Go ahead. You first.
Connie sprints outside and looks around. She looks upset and irritated. Lights go on the football field.
You think you should have done that?
Hey, who's the football hero around here, huh? I got a lot of fond memories of this place.
You should. State championship, all-state starting quarterback. It was a pretty good year for you.
Hey. Do you know what my favorite memory was?
What?
You. Sitting right over there at every one of those games. I always knew where you were.
You know why I used to sit over there, don't you?
No.
They stop.
That's the first place you ever kissed me.
I remember. I was always hoping that that kiss would go on forever.
Gus walks on. Sid gazes after him.
You wanted to stay in Bloomfield. I had to get out of here.
Was it that simple?
You know it wasn't.
I know.
He nods. She steps over to him.
But look, you've got a great son, and you seem happy.
You seem cold. Why don't you put this on? So what about you? Do you have anybody that makes you happy?
My friend Brenda calls him my settled for.
Settled for? I'll have to remember that.
So it's not too serious, huh?
Hardly.
They gaze at each other.
I've only loved two women in my life.
He breaks into a smile.
You. And I honestly never thought that I would find love again. And then something happened. Back into my life.
He steps closer to her, gazing deep into her eyes. He puts his arms by her sides, and she places hers on his chest. She looks up at him, pained.
Are you sure we should be doing this?
I've never been more sure about anything in my life.
She reaches up to kiss him. He pulls away, and Sid looks down.
It's my...
He rifles through his pockets.
It's Jake's. Hey, Lisa. Lisa. Slow down. All right. No, I'll be right there. We gotta go. It's Jake. Something's wrong with him.
Gus and Sid race across the playing field. At Gus's house, Jake's on the sofa. The babysitter has a flannel on his brow.
I am so sorry. He threw up a couple of times. Then he started to grab his stomach and cry and said that it hurt. I didn't know what else to do but call you.
It's all right, Lisa. You did the right thing.
Lisa frowns anxiously.
How you doing, pal?
Daddy, my tummy hurt. It hurts so bad.
Hey, can I take a look? Hi, Jake.
Hi, can you make the hurt go away?
I'm sure gonna try. How long has he had these abdominal pains?
Ever since he was a baby, the doctor said he had a sensitive stomach. Try to watch what he eats. These stomach aches keep coming back. But never this bad.
Hey, Jake, does this hurt?
Oh, yes.
Closest hospital is Mount Bedford, right?
Right.
You know what? We're gonna make these tummy aches go away.
Okay.
Come on, let's go.
Come here, buddy. What's wrong?
I'll explain on the way. Let's go.
Jake writhes in agony. Gus lifts him off the sofa. They speed through the night in Gus's pickup. Sid turns to see Jake fast asleep on the back seat. She puts her hand on his brow.
He's asleep. How long has it been since he's seen a doctor about this?
About a year. They all said it's just something he's gonna have to learn to live with.
I think he has a mass in his abdomen. There's a disease that affects children, usually a lot younger than Jake. But if it wasn't caught, he could have had it for some time. It's a form of cancer called neuroblastoma.
Cancer?
Its symptoms are abdominal pain, lethargy, weakness. Irregular eye movements are also one of its manifestations, along with a facial tic. And sometimes loss of muscle control.
I can't believe not one of those doctors found it.
Well, if you're not looking for it specifically, it's easy to miss.
Is he gonna be okay?
Sid's eyes dart around. Gus pulls up outside a hospital. A red sign with a white cross reads, Emergency. They hurry into the hospital, Jake in Gus's arms, Sid leading the way. They march down a corridor. Sid strides up to a woman at reception.
We need the attending out here, stat.
She gawps at Sid.
I said stat!
Excuse me. What's going on here?
Are you the attending?
Who are you?
Dr. Sidney Ludwig, Fairview Memorial. I've got a 6-year-old with acute abdominal pain. The situation has been recurring since infancy. He's possibly developed a mass in his abdomen. There's pain in the upper left quadrant accompanied by acute myoclonic encephalopathy. Now you need to do a CAT scan and a blood count series, and if there's a surgeon on call, I suggest you notify him.
Let's get him in examining one. I need a CAT scan, blood count, workup, and an electrolyte panel.
You might want to do a spot urine test for VMA and HVC. That'll tell us everything we need to know.
Right. All right, you heard the doctor. Let's go. Hey, let's get the gurney over here. Come on, nurse.
Right away.
Get Dr. Schmitz in your stat.
No, you're good. Dr. Schmitz to ER stat.
They wheel Jake down a corridor on a gurney.
Stat.
Day. Jake lies in a hospital bed. He has tubes coming out of his arm linked up to a drip with several pouches of liquid hanging from it. Jake turns to Gus, who's sitting by his bedside. Gus smiles at him comfortingly. Sid makes her way down the corridor to Jake's room. She takes a look at his chart, then pops her head round the door.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
How's our patient?
I think he's feeling better, but he hasn't gotten his sense of humor back yet.
Trust me, Dad, if it was funny, I'd laugh.
Sounds to me like his sense of humor is just fine. How you doing?
Pretty good, I guess.
Pretty good? Well, you know what? It says right here that you're doing really good, except not getting enough ice cream.
Does it really say that?
It does now.
Cool.
Sid grins.
Are you going back to the city?
I have to.
Are you ever going to come back to see me?
Of course, and we'll go to the park again.
Jake smiles.
You sure are the prettiest doctor I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you.
She sure is.
Gus sneaks her a cheeky sideways glance. The sun rises over the mountains. At Helen's house, Sid's in her room. She picks up the framed photo of her dad, with her on his lap, and packs it into her case. She stands there with her hand on her hip, staring into the distance pensively. Sid picks up her mobile phone. In the hospital, Tom's in scrubs.
Keep an eye on that blood sugar.
Okay.
Tom looks at a chart at reception.
This is the Adams chart. Please file it for me.
He takes his phone from his pocket.
Hey, stranger, this is a surprise. How are you?
I'm okay.
How's small-town life agreeing with you?
I diagnosed a case of neuroblastoma last night, a very young boy. They operated and saved his life.
That's nice, Sid. When are you coming home?
She looks down at her phone and scoffs.
Soon, Tom.
Give me a heads up. We'll have a romantic evening to celebrate your coming back.
She closes her eyes, then hangs up, shaking her head in frustration. Tom Tom wanders off. Behind reception, Brenda giggles. Out of the house with Sid.
Wish you'd stay a little longer.
Oh, I've got patients waiting for me.
Well, what about Jake?
He's in good hands.
I'm so proud of you. You know, I've always been so proud of you.
Helen smiles weakly.
I almost missed it. All the signs were there when I first met Jake, and I almost didn't see it.
Yeah, but you did see it. You know, you saved that little boy's life. After all, you can only help those that can be saved.
Sid nods.
I know.
Helen furrows her brow with tenderness and concern.
Oh, I'm so sorry I wasted so much time between us.
Oh, that's okay. I still love you. We have ourselves a brand new beginning.
Yeah, we do. I love you too.
Helen hugs her.
Oh, it would be so nice if this old town had someone like you taking care of us.
I'm gonna stop by the hospital, see little Jake before I hit the road.
You haven't even had your coffee yet.
I'll drop by Connie's and get a latte. Give her one last shot at me.
Drive carefully.
Mother.
Maud.
Sid grins and gets into her Merc, which has the roof down. Helen blows a kiss to her, and she blows one back. Sid reverses out of the drive. Sid turns and sets off down the road. Helen chuckles and scampers off. Sid pulls up outside Connie's cafe. The two old men are sitting at a table outside. Sid gets out of her car. Connie skips out, followed by Nelson and Reuben.
Hey, the gang's all here.
Large latte, whole milk just the way you like it, on the house.
Thanks.
Helen called to say you were going to stop by, so I decided to give you curb service. Sort of a little truce offering.
Truce?
I think that's Connie's way of saying that she's been a little snippy with you.
That's a sweet way to put it. Truce.
My mother really called, huh?
Yeah, well, you know Helen. She's always on top of things.
Come in.
Connie gives Sid a hug, then looks her in the eye.
You know, that little boy really likes you.
Thank you.
Hey, Nelson, would you like to learn how to make a smooth, sweet latte?
Sid cocks her head.
Sure.
Come on.
See you, Sid.
Okay.
Thanks.
Connie leads Nelson inside. Ed strolls along the pavement towards Sid.
How's the town hero today?
Hey, hero.
Well, I just came from visiting Jake. He's looking pretty fine. Thanks to you.
I'm a doctor, not a hero.
And you're a hero to Gus and this town.
Sid hangs her head.
I stopped by Helen's. She said you were here. She was in a very good mood.
Yeah.
I'm glad you two talked.
Me too.
You and your mom are a lot alike.
You think so?
Yes, I do. You both care a great deal about other people. That's a very good trait.
I know you,
She scratches her head.
I know you were hoping that Gus and I would end up together.
I'm always here, if you ever need someone to talk to.
Oh, do you really think I'm gonna open up to the guy who flew the principal's pants up the flagpole? I don't think so. I'm still trying to figure out how you pulled that one off.
Let's just say you had to know the right time to break into his office.
He raises his brows.
Troublemaker.
She hugs him.
Thank you for everything.
My pleasure.
They part, and Sid heads back to her car.
Hope to see you soon.
He waggles his finger at her. Sid backs out of her parking space and drives away. She waves to Ed as she goes. At Mount Bedford Hospital, Sid and Gus stand by Jake's bedside.
You know, Sid's the one that finally figured out what was making you so sick.
Thank you, Sid.
You're welcome. You're going to have a lot of follow-up appointments.
But you've got to trust me. They're all going to make you completely well.
Okay.
Well, I guess I better hit the road.
Sid.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for everything.
I'm glad I could help.
He takes her hand. She smiles, then pulls away.
Well, you guys, I'll see you soon, okay?
Gus's face falls as she leaves.
I know you like her too, Dad. I can tell these things.
You think so?
I think you might be right.
Gus pinches Jake's cheek gently. Sid comes out of the hospital. She sighs deeply and closes her eyes. Gus rushes out behind her.
Sid! Sid!
He jogs over and stops in front of her.
The doctor said that he got all the tumor.
Jake's gonna have some chemo sessions for a while, but that's just a precautionary move. He shouldn't have any complications.
I don't think I could have handled losing Jake.
I know.
But last night, at the football field, you know, before the phone call.
Yeah.
It was
special.
She nods.
Yes.
For me too.
I don't think I can ever repay you, you know, for all you've done for Jake and me.
A smile plays across her lips.
There is one way. That love of your life that you never thought you'd get another chance with?
Yeah.
Maybe if you ask her to stay, she will.
Really?
But only if you really want her to.
Gus is choked. They gaze at each other.
Sid, I want her to stay. I want her to stay.
Gus takes her head in his hands and they kiss passionately. They embrace tightly. A caption reads, 1 year later. Outside Bloomfield City Hall, people are doing Tai Chi under a banner that reads, Bloomfield, the number one healthiest town in America. Several others jog past and still more are doing star jumps nearby. A sign in a window reads, Bloomfield Medical, Sidney Ludwig Martin, MD. Inside, Helen leads Reuben into a waiting room.
I see congratulations are in order.
Yep, I haven't smoked for a year.
Now, if we could just do something about this cholesterol level. We do have a title to defend, you know.
Yeah, I'm working on it, Helen. I'm working on it. Okay.
Nelson?
Yes.
Helen frowns.
Are you taking those pills that Sidney prescribed?
Oh, yeah, Helen. They work great.
We need to see you guys back in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay, thanks.
Hey, sweetheart.
Hey, everything all right?
It's perfect. Everything's fine. Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, thanks. And those pills, they really work.
Oh, good. Yeah, if you're feeling any anxiety, just go ahead and take them. In fact, you can't take too many.
My husband, the lawyer, always so worried about me and the baby.
Connie's pregnant.
Come on, Big Daddy.
Thanks, Dad. Uh-huh.
Thanks, Sid. See you in 2 weeks.
What do you mean he can't take too many what?
Sugar pills.
Oh.
Hi, hon.
Hey, they're my guys.
Jake leaps onto a chair.
Hi there.
Sid kisses Gus.
So you ready for some lunch, Mom?
Yes, I am. What are you hungry for?
Chili cheeseburger with fries.
Oh, my goodness. You think your tummy can handle that?
I think so.
You know what? So do I.
Well, that's just great. The town doctor and her family. How are we going to defend our title if you all go out and eat junk food?
Moderation, Grandma. Everything in moderation.
Sid chuckles.
Oh, I see. Well, in that case, bring me back a chili dog.
You got it. Come on.
Jake hops off the chair and Gus and Sid follow. Sid glances back.
I'll see you for my 3 o'clock.
And don't forget the onions!
Sid, Gus and Jake head out onto the street. Sid and Gus hold Jake's hands, one either side. Executive producers Larry Levinson, Robert Halmy Jr. ITFC audio description.